Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, this the second Sunday in the season of Advent, is our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at the first verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, The second Sunday in Advent always falls near or on another day that we remember. President Franklin Roosevelt called it a date which will live in infamy. And, of course, the Pearl Harbor attack came on December 7th, but in 1941, that actually happened to be the second Sunday in the season of Advent, this same Sunday. Well, I don't think that we have any more World War II veterans left in our congregation. We had quite a number at one time. I remember hearing their stories, one in particular with today's lesson. One of our old veterans, Gary Craik, was in the Marine Corps, and he said he was on the island of Tinian in the South Pacific, and it was nighttime, and he was walking alongside of the airfield that they had there, and as he was walking alongside of the Japanese bombers came over by surprise. And he said that he just had time to dive into a shallow ditch as the bombs started falling. And his description was, when the bombs hit, it felt like the whole world was being blown apart. Well, today's Old Testament lesson speaks of something similar to that. It says, the glory of the Lord will be uncovered, and all flesh will see it together, all people. And the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, you can bank on this. Now, up to that point, and even today, the glory of the Lord has been covered, hidden behind creation. About the closest we've gotten to having it be uncovered is when our Lord Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration before his disciples, and he shone with the glory of heaven. But for now, the glory of God is hidden behind creation, but it will be uncovered. God's glory, his kabod in Hebrew, refers to God's holiness and purity and infinite power before which no sinner can stand and live. But it's not just sinners, it's also the whole creation. 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up, the whole world blowing apart. And then you turn to the book of Revelation chapter 6, and it says, the sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And then the people of the earth hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and I guess the trenches. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? And the answer to that question comes to us from today's Old Testament lesson. Book of Isaiah chapter 40, it simply says this. It says, a voice is saying, cry out. And I said, what will I cry out? And the voice returned, all flesh is as grass, and its loveliness is as the flower of the field. The grass dries up, the flower fades because the wind of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. And what you have there is the Lord's glory being uncovered on the last day, and the human race before that is as defenseless as grass before a prairie fire, or here where we live, trees before a forest fire. Now I'll ask you a question. We all have experience of fires going on around here. What is it that keeps a fire from going into a field or into a forest? Well, if the fire is powerful enough, there's probably not much that's going to stop it. But one thing that will stop it is a shift in the wind. If the wind begins blowing in a different direction, it can stop the fire or move it elsewhere. But there's one thing you can be sure of, and that is that a fire does not stay out of a forest because the forest is pretty. Now that sounds silly to even put it that way, but it's a silliness that's repeated by the human race day in and day out. One of the common refrains that you hear is that God won't judge me, all these things we just read, on the last day because I'm pretty. Now, I don't mean looking in the mirror pretty. I mean I'm intellectually pretty, mentally pretty. I have good thoughts and I have good intentions and I have noble ideas. Or maybe I'm morally pretty. I try to keep God's commandments. And so it is that I believe that all people of goodwill who live morally and charitably and try to be noble and follow the precepts of their conscience, every person like that will be commended by God or whatever's out there. And as a Christian person, you just heard the words in the service of Holy Baptism. We are all conceived and born sinful and do not have hope unless God redeems and delivers us. We know better than to create ideas or religions out of our head. We know the truth of sin and we know the truth of salvation. And yet, when your conscience is troubled, how do you set your mind at rest before God? What is the inner confidence of your heart? What do you do? What do you say? Do you say, well, I know I'm troubled by my sins, but I try to be regular in my prayers to God asking for help? Or I study His word, or I've wanted to be a good man or a good woman. I've wanted to act with integrity and be honest. I've tried to do acts of charity toward other people. I've spent all kinds of energy and resources to help people. I've kept myself busy for Jesus, and so I can rest my heart before the Lord. But again, going back to the question, does the fire stay out of the forest because the forest is pretty? Is that why it stays out of the forest, or is there another reason? Because the forest is honestly fuel for the fire. That's its nature, to be fuel for the fire. And a Christian person can say the same thing. King David said it. The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart, and he said what? He said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And there is not a one of us that can confess otherwise. There's a heavy fuel load out there in your life, in my life. All the slackness in praying, preferring to solve things ourselves. All those times where we say, oh, I'm going to study God's word, but why do we study it? So we can have knowledge and we can appear smart in the Bible class. Wanting to be a good man, wanting to be a good woman, but really ending up being a bad one. Being passionate about our cause, and it seems to be the right cause, but in our passion we throw aside integrity or honesty or charity, and we forget those things. And we do direct energy and resources toward the needs of others, and yet it becomes too much, and inside there's a simmering resentment and reluctance because too many demands are being placed upon us. And what you've got there is a forest that is full of fuel. Fuel for the wrath of God. And with all of that fuel waiting to be torched, what can you hope in? What's the hope? Your hope is that the wind will shift, that the wind will blow in another direction, that the wind will burn something else. Today's Old Testament lesson says, "Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem. Lift it up. Don't be afraid, you bearer of good news. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God." Now, those are words that you have heard before in the New Testament of the Bible, or words that are similar to them. It comes in the Gospel of John, and they're words that are spoken by, of all people, Pontius Pilate. He had Jesus beaten and crowned with thorns, and he stood him in front of the crowd that was gathered there before the tribunal, and he said in his own language, the Latin language, he said, "Ecce homo, behold the man. Behold the man." And what Pilate was banking on was the fact that the crowd would see Jesus in such bad shape that they would feel sorry for what happened to him. They would rally around one of their own people and they would back him up and ask for pardon, and they didn't do it. They said instead, "Crucify him." And they said, "Crucify him," because they hated him. And they hated him because he told them that they weren't pretty, and that being pretty was not going to save him. Now, at that very moment, the fire of God should have burned everybody up at the height of their pride and their unbelief. But instead, it was right at that point that the wind shifted and the fire of God's anger went into another forest. And it went upon his son on his cross, and all the sins of the world got laid upon him, and he was burned with the wrath of God our Father upon our sin, to the point where he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he said at the very last, what? "It is finished. It's done. The fire is out. The fire is burned out. The fire burned me. The wind shifted. It burned me." And with that, now you hear the words of Isaiah 40. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak right to Jerusalem's heart and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." The words of the prophet are almost the same as the words of Pontius Pilate, but they say the same thing. Behold your God, behold the man, true God, true man. And what do you behold? You see that he's on the cross for you, and you realize that the fire didn't come to you. And it didn't come to you because you were pretty. It didn't come to you because you weren't pretty. But your ugliness, the words, the thoughts, the deeds, went on to Jesus Christ because the wind shifted. And because the wind shifted, the day will come, like the lesson says, when he will bring his reward with him. And you say, "I didn't do anything." And the Lord says, "Yes, you're right, but I'm counting on your account what he did." He'll bring the reward. As a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather his lambs, and he will gently lead them, lead all of his people, everyone trusting in his grace. He'll lead them home. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.